The chairmanship of the AU rotates from region to region, but once a region is due to lead in terms of chairmanship, they propose candidatures who then are looked at, the summit then elects. And so if a summit meets and elects through that process, what other process then can we adopt that respects rule of law? And coming to half tax on certain individuals is also something that one sometimes wonders, because we know the civil societies in the continent. We have a forum of civil societies, and one of the criteria that we have is that civil societies are of two categories. There are those who generate their resources from the continent. There are those which are paid for by external sources. Sometimes we find some of these civil societies are mouthpieces of other people. They are not speaking on behalf of Africa. Now, I should address this fundamental question of leadership in any country. As I said early on, a country has to have its own constitution. A country has to have its own procedure of how they select their leaders. If a country selects a leader, who is anybody else that outside that country can go in and decide that this leader you have elected is not the right one? What we, at the level of AU, if we have to follow our laws, strictly our laws, is that we encourage countries to make sure that they follow their constitution. And we have taken steps as African Union. If a country does not implement this constitution, we separate them from organizations. That's why where there's been change of power and we think it was not in accordance with the constitution, we reject. That's why we go and observe elections. And we have, by the way, when you read our election reports, rejected some of the results when we feel they were not free and fair. So if we cannot preach anarchy, we must be rule-based. And as an institution, not just preach it, but practice.
These civil society organizations are citing alleged human rights violations in Zimbabwe over the past decade, including the time when the opposition was strong, led by Mr. Tsvangirai. Do you say that is enough for them to raise the issues that they are raising, and even some ordinary Zimbabweans were saying that as well?
There are several fora that they can use. If Zimbabwe laws are not adequate, if Zimbabwe courts are not competent, you can go to international law, which is also available. In fact, that's partly why in the African Union, we are also establishing an African court that can try crime against humanity in case other courts are very expensive or too far removed from us. So that's a value judgment that I cannot comment.
But can we safely say that Mr. Mugabe, by the end of the week, you will be the chairperson of the AU?
You cannot say it's wrapped up, because the election will be at the weekend, and that's when we'll know the outcome.
You talked about the court that you're trying to establish at the African Union so that the African Union can try human rights abuses. How far have you gone in that process?
Well, protocol to give jurisdiction to court has been approved. We are now going into the next stage of ratification, and also to give the court the necessary capacity to be able to try crimes against humanity, because it requires quite a lot of capacity.
Lastly, you spoke earlier on about Agenda 2063. Do you see Africa rising in the way that many people around here are optimistic in its targets and all?
Yes, I am. The hope is in the fact that there is determination, there is resources. What we now need is to implement this agenda, and that's where we're looking at all aspects. First of all, mobilize political will, which we are doing through this forum, consultations that have taken place to make sure that all the stakeholders accept it as our program, but also mobilize resources to make sure that it is not just a paper that will be in the shelves. We have extracted from it short-term projects, which we already implement, to give impetus so that it can be seen very clearly that it can be done.